I receive the keys that unlock the next level of my sonship. I receive the keys that unlock the next level of my sonship. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit about those. I receive the keys that unlock the next level of my sonship. I receive, meaning it's a present moment thing. It's happening now. I receive the keys that unlock the next level of my sonship. Bloko sanda da 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 ba 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 sanda, vre se de de robo sanda, ba ba sanda la doko sanda, ye la la na na ma sondro kote se de, ye la na 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 ma sondro koto, vre se de da ba handa, la da da ba ha ba ba ba, ba 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 ba. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I become more alert to the walls of containment that the enemy tries to build around me, and receive the insight that will cause them to fall. I'm going to read that again very slowly for you so you can catch it in the back. Today, I become more alert to the walls of containment that the enemy tries to build around me, and I receive the insight that will cause them to fall. Begin to pray in the Spirit about those. La da da ba 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 son da da ba ba. I will be more alert when the enemy tries to build walls of containment in my life. I'll be more alert to them. And I will also be able to receive the insight that will cause those walls to fall. Ya katara ra ra ba 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 ba. Ye na 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 ma sondro ko sanda. Ye ra 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 bo sande ra ka handa ra ra ba 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 ba. Ye ra 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 bo sande de ke sete. He la ko sa ba 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 sandra. Vlede sere ra bo sondo. In Jesus' name, amen. We prayed. You may be seated. If you would turn with me to Matthew's the 16th chapter. As an apostolic house, we must transition from trying to get breakthroughs to unlocking things. As an apostolic house, we must make this transition. Breakthrough gives a connotation of force. It gives a connotation of something that's not rightfully yours. Breakthrough gives a connotation that you're going to have to do something. Unlocking means that you're already in possession of some power that will cause you to enter some place that you've been designed to enter in all along. So as an apostolic house, we must make the transition from trying to get breakthroughs to unlocking doors. Are you hearing me? Matthew, the 16th chapter, apostle's been dealing with us about keys, supernatural keys that unlock any gate that allows us to have access to something or trying to keep us bound from something. Supernatural keys. We have those supernatural keys been given to us. Now, this morning, I want to point out two words that in the 16th chapter that will bring another whole connotation to the keys that Apostle has been talking to us about. What is actually being unlocked? Here in Matthew, the 16th chapter, I'll read it from the 17th verse. Jesus asked him a question in the 17th verse, and Jesus asked him a question, who do you think I am? And Peter, who was Simon at the time, by revelation, it was revealed to him who Jesus really was. Jesus is now answering in the 17th verse and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? Flesh and blood hath not what? revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, what rock are we talking about? Peter's not the rock. This rock is the process. Jesus is telling Peter that by the same process you use to discover who I am is the same way I'm going to build my church, by revelation. All right? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys. Now I want you to say after keys, the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you can count, you'll know where to stop. So we're about to see who can count in here. I'm going to say keys, I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm going to stop at keys, and I want you to read to me the rest of that, the rest of those next 5 words, right? Let me see, make sure I got the right number first. Hold on. Make sure I can count. That's it. And I will give unto thee the keys. Now, wait a minute. Now, let's figure out what this is. Here is Jesus telling us that he would give us the keys or to the kingdom of heaven. These keys belong to the kingdom of heaven, right? So these keys are supposed to unlock access to the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's think about what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is heaven's ways of doing things. So Jesus is telling us by revelation that we will receive heaven ways of doing things. So if we're supposed to receive by revelation the keys to do things like heaven, in other words, what it's saying is Jesus is giving us the keys to the kingdom of God, or to Eden. Other words, if we go back to Genesis and begin to see how Adam and Eve was living before they decided to give the keys away, that means Jesus, by revelation, is going to show us in this present moment how we can return to the Garden of Eden. That's why Jesus went on to say, and whatsoever you bound in heaven will be bound in earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed in earth. So these keys are supposed to unlock heaven on earth for us. Are you seeing this? Go with me to 1 Peter. These are just not the ordinary keys Jesus gave us. These keys are supposed to give us access in this present moment to how Adam and Eve was living before they messed up. So let's think about this. We don't have time to go there, but let's think about it. We all know the story, and for those who don't know the story, you can read it in Genesis, the 2nd chapter. We go back to how Adam and Eve was living. They didn't want for anything. They weren't sick. They weren't in confusion. They were daily spending time with the Father. Now you understand the seal that we was praying. I will receive today the keys that will unlock the next level of my sonship. That means it will open up another avenue, another level, another experience of being with my Father. They were daily spending time with God. They were dealing and letting God impart into them. They were allowing God to reveal to them who they really were. So they didn't want for anything. They weren't sick. They were spending time with God. And they were steady progressing. Jesus, now that lifestyle is locked up. But Jesus, through revelation, gives us the keys that unlocks that life. So now it's not some more of me toiling. It's not so much of me having to create unnecessary warfare. It's not even about me speaking to mountains that I have nothing to do with. It's about me receiving by revelation the key that will unlock. Go to Jeremiah 29:11, and then we'll come back to first. Then we'll come back to first Peter. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. How do you receive the keys? Revelation, right? If I don't have revelation, then I'm going to go without knowing some stuff. If I go without revelation, there's some stuff that I'm going to miss. So if I don't get revelation, then I ain't got access to no keys. The keys is what unlocks the heaven on earth lifestyle. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God talking. Said the Lord, thoughts of what? And not of evil to give you an expected end. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. But they're locked up. Where are they locked up? In the mind of God. Why do you think God had to remind them, look, listen, children of Israel. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I need you to come up. He never said we couldn't get his thoughts. He just said we had to come up. What it means to come up, that means I have to get in his mindset. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. We quickly read verse 19. But verse 19 is predicated upon something. We know 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the what?
Good land.
If ye be willing and obedient, the first question you need to ask yourself when you read that scripture is, to what am I willing and to what am I being obedient? In other words, what instructions? I can't just be willing and obedient if I don't know what to do. I can't be willing and obedient if I have no clue what's going on. So that's why verse 18 is important. Go to verse 18. God is saying, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now watch this. It says, though your sins are your current actions. It's not talking about cardinal sins here. It's not talking about lying, stealing, cheating. It ain't talking about that. It's simply talking about sin, means action. Though your actions be as scarlet, meaning they're going to be stained, your actions by yourself without God's influence is jacked up from the word go. I don't care how brilliant you think it is. I don't care how intelligent you think you are. I don't care how brilliant you think it is. I don't care how good of an idea that other people say it is. If it had not come from God, it's jacked up from start. But God made it possible that if we have something or we come up with an idea on our own, that we can bring it to him. though your sins be as scarlet, by the time we finish putting our mind together, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Other words, after I get through, God said, after you bring your thoughts to me, you bring your ideas to me, and I tell you what I really been thinking about you, what I really want you to do, then you can become willing and obedient, and you'll eat the good of the land. That's the keys. When I take time to get God's insight, that means that I can take the revelation that I've been given and I can unlock this kingdom of heaven lifestyle, this heaven on earth lifestyle, this Eden type lifestyle that I've been striving for all along. 1 Peter. First Peter 5. First Peter 5. Because Satan is the god of this world system. He's not the god of this world. He's the god of this system. His number one goal is to separate you from the love of Christ. So his whole objective, his whole focus is to put you in scenarios, to cause things to happen that will separate you from this Eden-type lifestyle. So sometimes the enemy will try to create walls of containment. Let me tell y'all something. There is no room that can be, that you could be put into that doesn't have an exit. Let's think about this now. There is no wall or no contraption that can be built that can contain you. Before we get super spiritual about it, let's think about it naturally. I don't care if somebody forces you into a room and locks the door behind you. Is there a way out? We all know there's a way out because how they put you in. There is no wall of containment. There is no room. There is no gate that can hold you in or hold you out. Every situation that you face, every problem that you face, every circumstance that you have to deal with is because, watch this, you're dealing with it because of something you don't know or you didn't recognize. Watch this. This makes it even more beautiful. I don't care if you cause the circumstance. I don't care if you cause the problem. I don't care if you built the room and threw away the key and locked yourself in the room. There's still a way out. I want you to see this morning. There is not one place of containment, not one place of bondage, that there is not a way to escape, not an exit. There's always a way to get out. Always. There's nothing nobody can do I was watching this show on the, now I don't know, how many people watch the Science Channel? I don't feel too many people here watch the Science Channel. I watch the Science Channel. I figured, because some of y'all ain't going to know what I'm talking about. There's a show called The Great Escape. I think it's the name of it. Escape. Where they are stuck in this room. And watch this. They're in this room, and they got to find a way out of this room. But the problem is that the code to unlock the door is in the room. So they have a certain time limit. Now, what I want you to do, they have a certain time limit in which they have to search around the room looking for clues on how to get the code to unlock the door. I mean, I've seen some of them in some strange situations. Some of them were bound in chairs with a rope wrapped around them. There's three of them was in the room that had rope wrapped around them. They had to figure out how to, first of all, get unwrapped out the rope. Then they had to search looking for clues to unlock the door. Every situation that you're in, the way to escape is with you. Oh, y'all look at me like it. Oh, think about what you're dealing with now. Think about what you're dealing with, whatever you're facing, whatever problem you're facing. Whatever trying to contain you, or whatever is trying to hold you out, the code or the key is with you. So all you have to do is take time to talk to the person who knows the code. And the wonderful thing about this is different than the show that I watch is there's no time limit. Didn't they say, "Lord, I'll be with you"? There's no sin that you may be trapped in, for which you can't find the answer or the key to unlock that thing. Why? Because Jesus is right there with you. That's why there is now no condemnation. We've been trying to break through, and we've been trying to force our way out of sin. Or force our way out of situations. No, take the time to get the key. How we get keys? Revelation is something being revealed to me that I didn't know before. 1 Peter 5, watch this. 1 Peter 5, let's start at verse 5. This is Peter giving instructions to some of the people that's in his apostolic house. And he talked to the elders first in the first few verses. Then he gets to verse 5. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth what?
Grace
to the humble." Other words, God empowers the humble. He don't empower those that have ego. Do you understand? See, the reason why God can't empower people who have egos is because whenever they deal with a situation, sometimes it might be need to be handled in a certain way. But when you got an ego, you all the time want to show people that you dominate other people. See, Jesus walked humbly on the earth. Jesus walked so humbly on the earth that even when he performed miracles, he would tell them, "Hey, don't tell them who did this for you. I don't want them to know who I am." When he went, when Peter by revelation found out that Jesus was a Messiah, Jesus went on and told him, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind in heaven. Right after that, Jesus said, now don't go tell nobody. Right. Right. Why is that? It's because, watch this. Whenever Jesus was going to the cross, Satan couldn't have, he couldn't know who he was. Because if Satan would have ever figured out who Jesus was, Jesus would have never made it to the cross. So if Jesus had been walking around talking about, yep, I'm the Messiah. That's me. You saw that blind eye open? I did that. Oh, y'all loved that wine, didn't you? You hang around me, you ain't never gonna go hungry. I feed multitudes. This is why he said he gives grace. He empowers the humble. Are you seeing this? Watch now, watch, watch. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the right time. That's the word do mean, at the right time. Listen to this. Casting all your cares upon him. This is why whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, I didn't say suffering, I said struggling. There's a difference between struggling and suffering. You may be going through the same thing, but it's how you go through it, whether you're struggling or you're suffering. See, when you struggle, you go through something not knowing how you're going to get out. But when you suffer through something, you know exactly how you're going to get out. You have no care in the world about how it's going to happen. You're not really concerned about when it's going to happen. All you know is it's going to happen. So you have to cast all your cares on him. Why we cast all our cares on him? What read it says. For he cares for me. So why is he caring for me? Because wherever I go, he goes. So he's right there in the middle of your situation with you. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's like something. He ain't something, but he likes something. He want to pose himself like he's a roaring lion, but he ain't. Anytime you face a situation, you're in a problem. You have to deal with something. It is as a roaring lion. It's not the lion, because the lion on my side. So there's no situation that can contain me. There's no situation that can stop me from going into this kingdom of heaven lifestyle. Are you seeing this? He's as a roaring lion. He's not the roaring lion. The roaring lion is on my side. You have to understand that. He's on my side. Are you seeing this? He's as a roaring. Once again, here we watch how beautiful this is. I don't care if you cause the situation. Satan just trying to capitalize on our ignorance. But don't worry, I'm not going to be ignorant for so long. Because soon as I get into my closet and I begin to reason with God my Father, when I begin to reason with the real lion, are you seeing this? He come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He only devours those who don't understand that they have keys. He only devours those that can't get revelation. He only devours those that don't know any better. They figure they stuck where they are. They figure those walls of containment. They don't realize that the walls of containment that are around them, somebody put them in that room. So whatever exit, whatever entrance they use to put you in the room is the same doorway you're going to exit out the room. There is no wall of containment. There is no situation that you can't get out of. There is no problem that does not have a solution. Life has just gotten a whole lot easier. Because it's not me forcing nothing to happen. It's not me trying to break through something or tear something down. Whoever put me, whether you put yourself in a room or whoever else put you in a wall containment, or watch this, whoever trying to hold you out of something or hold you back from something, however they walk through, you can walk through. There's the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You may be seated. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. May. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That word may, that means he got to ask permission. He just can't do it to you. He just can't get you like that. He got to have permission. So in other words, it ain't going to be just him overtaking you or coming on you. Somebody or someone or something gave him permission. But just, all right, 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter. It's somebody else roaming the earth. It's somebody else going to and fro. It's not just the devil as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. See, I told you he asked permission. He can't just devour you up. He can try to, but he can't just do it. He got to have permission. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to make any attempts, but the Bible says he may devour. Devour means to completely destroy, to completely devastate, completely tear. He got to have permission to do that. Because there's somebody else that's searching to and fro. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Watch this. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run, covering the same amount of territory as the devil, my adversary, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is towards perfect means completely. Completely. There's nothing that can change my way from God. There's nobody. See, give you an example. David is the only one in the Bible that recorded that he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't completely without sin, but his heart was totally turned toward God. Do y'all realize that when your heart is turned totally toward God, even though you may jack a situation up, that God will still vindicate you out of your jacked up situation? People don't realize this. When David messed up with Bathsheba, the first one died. But do you know who the second one born was? It was Solomon, the very one to take over his kingdom. God, don't matter you, I don't care how bad your situation may be. I don't care how much you have screwed it up. If you take time to reason with the Father and get some keys, he will cause you to unlock every situation in your life. You always have a means of escape. The eyes, put it back up there. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Whose heart is perfect towards him. Whose heart is perfect towards him. You might not do everything right, but if God can, if the Holy Spirit, you might not do everything right, but if the Holy Spirit can come to you right after you've done the wrong thing and cause you to break down and say, God, I am so sorry. That's all God looking for. That's all he's looking for. He ain't looking for you to be righteous within yourself. He's just looking for you to, watch this, have a heart that's completely turned toward him. Lord, you told me not to do this. Lord, I did anyway. Lord, I am sorry. I did what you told me not to do. Lord, would you please have mercy on me? And all God's going to do is say, that's okay, my son. That's okay, my daughter. Come on, let's talk. I'm going to give you some keys that's going to get you out of this situation. The very first place that you need to run to whenever you get into trouble is run to the Father. Don't go run to your brothers and your sisters. Don't go run to your mom and your daddy. Don't go run to your best friend. Run to the Father. Are you seeing this? You may be seated. Run to the Father. Don't run nowhere else. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. Don't be. See. He said you have to cast all your cares on him. Meaning there's no, it's not a time to panic. See, don't panic. See, when you panic, you can't think straight. I didn't know this, but our pilots go for recurrent training every year. And one of the things that they do, and I didn't realize this, one of the things they do when they go through recurrent training is they get put in the cockpit, and they are given different scenarios of how to handle. I didn't understand why they had to be physically fit. When I say physically fit, I'm not talking about chiseled, cut, and all that. I'm just talking about you got to be in good health. I thought it was just because so they can see, because I don't want no pilot that can't see. You know, like I don't want a pilot that can't hear too good, you know what I'm saying? Because he getting signals in the radio. If he missed one of them signals, somebody in trouble. But they actually had to be physically fit, because when they put them into the cockpit, they put a scenario on them of losing oxygen. Now, when you lose oxygen, after a while, you're going to black out. So they do that to them because there are certain things that they have to do and have to, watch this, they have to recognize it's coming on them. You can't recognize, they can't recognize that they're losing oxygen unless they've been put in a situation in which they've been tested. So therefore now when they're in a real life situation, and they start getting woozy headed, they have gone through it enough times to know that these are the things I need to do to find out why the oxygen is cut off before we black out. Because you're in trouble if your pilot black out. So they go through this training, they do it over and over and over again to where it becomes second nature to them that, it's almost, watch this. When the oxygen if oxygen ever was to leave, they're not panicking. Why? Because they've gone through this situation time and time again. What am I saying? Never run away from situations in which you have a chance to experience God saving you. Because the more experience you have, when Satan, who coming as a roaring lion, he can't do nothing, but when he come as a roaring lion, you're able to remain calm. You're able to stay cool. You're able to stay collected. And you're able to quietly walk into your closet where you and God can get alone. And you all can reason together and God can begin to reveal to you keys. Is this making sense? See, when you panic, Luke 21:19, we close there. Go there. Luke 21:19. So you have to understand these premises. I've been given keys to the Eden lifestyle. I have been given access to them. God is going to reveal to me how to use them. So there's no need for me to panic. There's no need for me to try to wonder, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Yeah, every situation I get into, every situation that comes against me, every problem I have to deal with, I already know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I already know what is going to happen. Whatever problem I face, whatever situation I'm in, I know I'm going to come out on top. Now, I may not know how, but I know what I know at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I'm going to be standing and standing strong. That's a part of your sonship. That's a part of your DNA. That's a part of who you are. You cannot lose. There's no situation you face that can stop you from going where God has designed you to go. There is no room that can contain you long enough to where you can't reach your destiny. There's no person in this earth realm that can block you from getting what God wants you to get. God will remove that person out of your way. God will give you wisdom on what to do to maneuver right around that person. When they look up, they thought you was here, but you're going all over there. Luke 21. See, now I understand, and I can't wait till Apostle begin to take us through the other keys and begin to take us deep into Revelation as he takes this apostolic house to get more in line with God's government, get more in line with who God is. One more scripture, and then we can go to Luke 21, Romans 8:28. Oh, we know that scripture. Yeah, we know it. Put it on the screen for me, please. Romans 8:28. And we know. Didn't I just say that? And we know that all things. Not just the things when we were walking perfectly. But it says all things, even when I caused it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them, watch this, who are called according to his agenda. Read this way. To them who are called according to his government. Remember now, Apostle says, His church, meaning God's church, our keys. We have to leave the church alone and how it's run, how it's governed, and we have to, all we be concerned about is getting revelation so that we can unlock our Eden. See, watch this. It says all things. So that means, watch this. That means even if I create the problem, and I, this is why you can't have an ego. This is why you can't be proud. If I made a decision and it caused some problem to come in my life, I have a right to come to my apostolic government and be held accountable. When I'm held accountable, that means that whatever I've done to cause this situation is now blocked out the mind of God, and now God begins to work on that situation that I caused so that it'll work out in my good. I hope this is making sense. So that nobody can be left out. I don't care how spiritual you are or how unspiritual you think you are. If you begin to yield to God's apostolic agenda, begin to yield to his purpose for your life, God can now begin to give you keys that will unlock the Eden. Stuff that is jacked up won't be jacked up no more. Stuff that you caused, that you know you made happen, that's why you got certain things in your life, by the time God get through with you, it's going to be as if you're going to look back at the problem and say, man, that was such a bad idea. But you won't do it again. But you're going to look back and say, man, that wasn't a bad idea. Because God makes it look so beautiful on this side. Why? Because you decided to yield to him. You decided to yield your heart to him. You decided to let him reason in your mind and tell you what to do. Last scripture, we close in here. Luke 21:19. Get on the screen for me, please, quick. I got 45 seconds. Here's why you cannot panic. When you face situations, when you face problems, or something just happened to you out of the blue, this the scripture ought to pop up in your mind. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Because why? Why I can possess my soul? Because I can get myself together. Why? Because he's as a roaring lion. The lion on my side. He's as a roaring lion. So there's nothing that he can do to just overtake me. Whenever he attacks, I have time to go get with God. Are you seeing this? Every head bowed, every eye closed.